how the local journalists are treated now. It doesn't really matter about the foreigners in the sense that the worst they're going to do is kick them out of the country. They don't get treated badly. It's the local journalists that they ones that face physical attack, imprisonment and worse. And particularly with this offensive going on in Shabwa, you mentioned earlier about the Al Jazeera journalist who was kicked out of the province trying to cover that conflict. And we have no indication of independent verification of, you know, civilian casualties, how the local population is coping in that conflict. All we have is information from the government or from Al-Qaeda. And that's where you see that the local journalists are really important in getting the information out. And I think it's very troubling when the government is preventing that from happening.
I want to thank you, Ayona Craig, for being with us, journalist who's been based in Sana'a for the last 3.5 years. She's the Yemen correspondent for The Times of London. We'll continue to talk to you. That does it for the show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Barker, Nafal Zahra, Mate Noumi, Sheikh Stu Martinez, Sam Akhafani, Masood, Rabbi Karandina, Gazdari, Amy Little, Coco, Sandra, Lazare, Messiah, Rochery, Nadura, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Laguerre, our engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman, Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us. Done.
This is WHFR Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show. And we call it the new WHFR Journal. Yes, here it is. It's the new WHFR Journal for Friday, May the 23rd, 2014. My name is Jay Koronek, and I'm the station advisor here at WHFR.fm, the station making waves. We're coming to you live from Henry Ford College. And today, it's Memorial Day this weekend, and Monday officially is Memorial Day. It's a U.S. federal holiday, and for those of you that don't know the background, a lot of people don't celebrate it, interestingly, although they usually have a day off, so if not a weekend off, if not 4 days off, and they usually get together, have a good time. So in the spirit of that, I thought, first of all, we'd give you a little background. This holiday is celebrated every year on the final Monday of May. It was formerly known as Decoration Day and originated after the American Civil War to commemorate the Union and Confederate soldiers who died in the Civil War. By the 20th century, Memorial Day had been extended to honor all Americans who have died while in the military service. It typically marks the start of the summer vacation season, while Labor Day marks the end. Did you know that? Many people visit cemeteries and memorials, particularly to honor those who have died in military service. Many volunteers place an American flag on each grave in national cemeteries. Now, Memorial Day is not to be confused with Veterans Day. Memorial Day is a day of remembering the men and women who died while serving, while Veterans Day celebrates the service of all U.S. military veterans. The history is, a twist and turns. As we said, it starts with the Civil War, and it, changed over the years to the celebration we have now. In 1968, the Congress actually did vote to change all holidays from whatever day they happen to occur on to the nearest Monday. Okay, so it's called the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. Whoop-de-doo, 1968. Yep, and that creates, of course, a convenient three-day weekend for those that want to do something that takes 3 days, I guess. So the law took effect at the federal level in 1971, and after some initial confusion and unwillingness to comply, all 50 states adopted Congress's change of date a few years ago. Okay. And, of course, here in Dearborn, we're going to have our Memorial Day parade on Monday. More information about that coming up later in the hour. I thought that because it was in the Dearborn Press and Guide this week, the famous Gettysburg Address by Abraham Lincoln, President Lincoln, was also quite appropriate this time of year. Most people know the beginning 67 years ago, but it was actually a tribute to the dead, the fallen dead in the Civil War. And I thought you might like to hear a professional reading of that. It only takes less than 2 minutes, very short speech. And here it is.
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus so far nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here, dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Certainly a speech that was long remembered, although not in its context of memorializing those fallen dead on both sides of the Civil War. So this is our WHFR Journal for Friday, May 23rd, sort of a special salute to Memorial Day, but also covering the usual stories that are out there for around the town of Dearborn and the surrounding areas. So I'm going to cover quickly a couple of the stories from the past. In last Sunday's Dearborn Press and Guide, Wayne County Commission approves deficit reduction plan. Seems significant to me, but it was on page 18A. Okay. I mean, it's always good that somebody figures out actually how to get the budget balanced again. That's a wonderful thing. But here's the story. They approved a plan a week ago Thursday to take about $175 million in red ink off its books. That's $175 million. By a vote of 8-6, commissioners approved the plan designed by Chief Financial Officer Mark Abbo. Now, 8-6, that's just a little over a majority. In fact, they could have been split, 7-7. I'm not sure whether Gary Warrenchuk, who is the head of the commission, whether his vote is part of those 14 or whether he could break a vote. But under the plan, employees of Wayne County would make wage and benefit concessions. Money would be reallocated for use, and its wastewater treatment operations Okay, so that's money from the wastewater treatment operations, too. Okay. The latter plan would generate about $121 million, according to County Executive Robert Fracano's administration. The wage and benefit concessions will have to be collectively bargained with union workers whose contracts expire at the end of the current fiscal year. Now, that would be typically, at least for schools anyway, that's the end of June, although a fiscal year could be the end of the calendar year. We'll find out. The state approved the plan last week, but gave the county a May 31st deadline to gain the approval of the commission. Commissioner Joseph Palomara, Democrat from Grosse Isle, said casting his yes vote wasn't hard. He said, quote, "The state said to us, get a plan by May 31 or else. The interference was, if we didn't have a plan, they were going, the inference was, if we didn't have a plan, they were going to take it from there. The threat is real to have an emergency financial manager come in and manage the county's finances. The fiscally right vote was to put a plan in place so that they maintain some authority to do something." Of course, yours truly has to say, why didn't they do something on their own, before now? Well, of course, that's only incompetence or perhaps ignorance. And I say that nicely. It could be that they were just unaware of how bad the budget was in Wayne County. And you know how you always put off things, a little procrastination to put off things that are going to be difficult or challenging until you really have to do them. Well, that is one advantage of the state coming in. But of course, if the state came in under the current financial manager law, which the voters of Michigan said no to, and legislature then turned around 3 years ago and voted it back in anyway, making it unable to be voted out by the people of Michigan. That's really nice. Thank you, Republican legislature and governor. We had an emergency financial manager procedure in place before then. And the difference was the original one we had actually respected workers' rights and democracy. The one we have now does not. Anyway, going on with the story, Palomara, that commissioner from Grosse Isle in Wayne County, admitted turning the wastewater treatment operations over to an authority of the communities it serves will be a tough sell, but he believes it's possible. When 12 communities joined the Downriver Utility Wastewater Authority 4 years ago, he said the members expressed an interest in one day running it. It's a county asset, Palomara said of wastewater operations. We can't just give it away. We have to negotiate a deal that makes sense to all involved, because the alternative is an emergency financial manager coming in, setting a price, and letting whoever buys it charge whatever they want. I hope we can work with the Downriver communities on this. Commissioner Raymond Basham, Democrat Taylor, often a critic of the administration, did not vote because of a medical absence. Colleague Ilona Varga, Democrat Lincoln Park, was the lone commissioner in the Downriver delegation to vote no, joining Kevin McNamara, Democratic representative of Wayne County from Belleville, who is, of course, also running for county executive in the August 5th primary. So he can certainly say he has experience in the commission. And in this case, he voted against the budget proposal, perhaps because it was drawn up by someone, the chief financial officer, Mark Abbo, who's part of Fecano's administration. Whatever. McNamara stated, "We can fix Wayne County by getting the communities to buy into the plan, not by selling them out. The proposed deficit elimination plan is a tax on the communities, filled with hope and prayer. This administration did not reach out to the communities," this administration, he's talking about Fecano, "to create the best possible plan under these economic circumstances. The deficit elimination plan drafted by the Fecano administration places a $120 million tax on Downriver communities by selling the wastewater treatment plant back to the communities. Those Downriver communities that are serviced by the plant need to be at the table." Abbo, the other commissioner we quoted earlier, said the plan will completely wipe out the deficits by the end of 2014-2015 fiscal year if all factors are implemented. So from that story, which I think deserve better than 18A. I want to jump back just a couple weeks to the fact about emergency financial managers. And this was, it was last month. April 14th, Governor Snyder declares financial emergency in Lincoln Park. Okay? And it's the latest Michigan city that could come under the control of a state-appointed emergency manager. That was as reported in doesn't say where it printed out from, but from some significant news source. The Free Press. You've heard of them? The Detroit Free Press? Okay. So that was April 14th. And this story then is April 15th, and it comes from Politics and Government, Tracy Samilton, People, Tracy-Samilton. Okay, so again, a follow-up from a local story here. In any way, Lincoln Park had $4.5 million in its general fund 3 years ago. Sort of a rainy day fund, I call it. Today, the city has a deficit of nearly $90,000, raising alarms among state officials about how fast it has spent all its money. Property values went way down in 2008, 2009. Okay. And that takes about a year or so for the city in collecting those taxes to see the decline. I don't think it takes an amazingly brilliant person to understand where the money went. Okay. Governor Rick Snyder says he agrees with the Michigan Treasury that a state of financial emergency exists. Lincoln Park says the city is on track to run up at least $1 million deficit this year. A lot more than just the $90,000. The amount will be higher if the city can't strike a deal on concessions from city workers. That is not food and beverage sales. Concessions, they mean, of course, cuts in their pay and benefits. Now, Lincoln Park has 7 days to ask for a hearing to contest the state's finding. I went to the Lincoln Park website 7 days after April 15th, saw nothing about that. Okay, but of course, it's true. Many cities, they don't update their website for months, if at all, because they don't have any workers, because they don't have any money. And of course, the public doesn't have a right to know, bottom line, does it? No, no, of course. If you don't have the money and you don't have the workers, then you don't have the website updated. I believe Lincoln Park is trying to choose from several options, but apparently they've had even some trouble trying to appoint a city manager, too. I'm not going to go into the details on that right now. But any city wishing to file for bankruptcy would need the approval of the governor. That's that new law that I mentioned that was put in place by the legislature 3 years ago that was actually not supported by the voting public of Michigan, but it is the law right now. Six other cities, by the way, are in state declared financial emergency. Detroit, we've heard about that. Allen Park, Benton Harbor, Ecorse, Hamtramck, and Royal Oak Township. Hamtramck is in financial manager situation for the second time. They were out for 2 years. Now they're back in. So that wasn't a good fix, was it? Or could the city administration be that incompetent in 2 years? Well, guess what? Property values have not come back up. Just a little teeny bit. And I'm not sure about Hamtramck in particular, but, you know, and how many businesses are there? A lot of businesses have closed. They used to pay taxes. So if you just don't have the businesses paying taxes anymore in the city, then that drops your revenues too. Yep. So, and they think Highland Park may be the next to join the list. So, as I said a few years ago when this law went into place, pretty soon the state can declare a financial emergency for no reason at all. That's the law. If they just say, well, it doesn't look good. You know, what'd you do with all that money? We're going to take you over. We're going to take you over. And then, of course, when we do, we'll appoint our own manager, a dictator, and you can still have your mayor and your city council, but they can't have any power. They can't do anything. Isn't that cool? No, it's not cool. Okay, well, I've said that before. That is a terrible law. Even though, yes, the threat, as we just heard, of a financial manager coming into Wayne County forced them to do something. And it was only $175 million. What the heck? Mm-hmm. Okay. Looking at other stories here. New WHFR Journal, special Memorial Day show, even though Monday is Memorial Day. And, of course, there's always two sides to the Memorial Day situation. Either you celebrate the glory of dying with your boots on, and, of course, the sacrifice that that means for the good of our country, hopefully. But then there's the other people that are constantly saying, well, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Here's Elvis Costello's version.
of insanity. I ask myself, is all hope lost? Is there only pain and hatred and misery?
Nothing funny at all. WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is, yes, it's our usual talk show, public affairs show, and adding a little music today because it's sort of a party down weekend, but still we have to remember what it's all about. And you can either be very somber and very respectful of the sacrifice by our soldiers in the multitude of wars that we've had, including the current several that are ongoing. But of course, you can also at the same time understand that's not good, okay? It's not the way we should proceed. Back to the stories, okay? In the Dearborn Times Herald, they cover a lot of stories that actually we covered last Friday, so no disrespect to the Times Herald, that's just the way that they publish. And the Press and Guide. An interesting story I found, though, on page 2A, that close to the front, skateboards are banned in downtown Wyandotte now, on the sidewalks in downtown Wyandotte. So, it's true. Skateboarders can present a hazard to pedestrians. They can go pretty fast, and it's hard to stop fast on a skateboard. I mean, you really have to be... If you're good at skateboarding, you know how to sort of instantly spin around, pop that board up in the air, and jump on the ground. But not everyone can do that. The sad story, of course, that we talked about last week, broke the story for radio. Severstal was granted a permit for their pollution that they've already been doing and been fined for 23 times. And the story behind that, you can take whatever side you want to. But more pollution, less life. That's my bottom line. I don't think there's any exception that I can even make on that generalization. And certainly, if I was in government, I would not give that exemption to Severstal. Of course, after the fact that a couple of our representatives in the Michigan House of Representatives, local representatives, suggested that the EPA, the federal government, look into Severstal's pollution and start monitoring and regulating them from the federal level. Severstal issued a press release, not necessarily Causeway that, oh, by the way, we're thinking of selling. Yeah, we took our tax break, and we made our money, and now we'll move to some other place. Because after all, we're an international corporation based in Russia, but international, and we can go anywhere. Who's going to give us a tax break and stop hassling us over pollution? I'm being satirical. Those aren't their words, not officially at all, you know. And maybe they don't even believe at all in the exaggeration that I've just made. Well, good for them. But business is business, and I know they'd agree to that. Well, okay, about those skateboards in Wyandotte. Mm-hmm. It seems that at least one person, a 15-year-old John Langtree, his skateboard is his means of transportation. And he said, I can't even drive yet. This is how I get around. Langtree, who hopes to get a job in downtown the area of Wyandotte this summer, will have to stop short of the downtown area and walk in. Now, a decades-old ordinance subjects those on skateboards, inline skates, and roller skates to a $500 fine if riding in the downtown area. So no inline skates and no roller skates. Okay, and Police Chief Daniel Grant on there said that there are plenty of places for them to use them, noting skate parks do exist. I'm not sure. Are there any in Dearborn? Haven't heard of any up here. Grant said that there's a rise in business owners complaining that people, primarily skateboarders, whiz by restaurants and storefronts, nearly knocking down pedestrians. Grant said there haven't been complaints about those on inline skates, but several regarding skateboarders. He said there has been damage to benches and flower beds from skateboarders jumping up and riding the flower beds and benches with their skateboard, thus causing damage. Because those flower beds have like benches on the side. I mean, sort of a flat top, just big enough for a skateboard to whiz down. Well, don't build your flower beds that way if you don't want skateboarders up there, because then they literally can't use it. So don't build them that way. Anyway, Grant said there's been a considerable amount of damage. To any person? No document evidence of any person, but apparently some flower beds. Okay. He said that not every skater or skateboarder will be fined $500, noting that officers have discretion. Ah, the power of the police state. So, I like your looks. I don't like your looks. You were being reckless. You were not being so reckless. That's a judgment call, not an objective call. I never like fining in that way. Although judges do it, but that's their job. You know, okay, you're guilty of something, and here's the fine. And they're empowered to do that. It's very public. It's court records, legal documents, and, you know, this thing about individual officers deciding the price of a ticket. Officers, he said, will first offer warnings. Ah, but they'll get your name. Okay. You might be a potential bad person. Well, I just found out that bicycles are banned. I don't have a story here about it, but bicycles are now banned in downtown Allen Park on the sidewalks. So it doesn't matter if you're 12 years old or whatever. You've got to ride your bikes in the road. Now, maybe it's just adults have to ride the bike in the road, because adults, well, you're big and heavy. If you run into something, you'll cause damage to it or them. Don't worry about yourself. I know Dearborn doesn't need any, but so what, whether it's just older people or younger people, you can't ride bikes on the sidewalks in downtown Allen Park. Probably for the same safety reasons. I understand that. But, you know, being a bicyclist myself, and we had our special bike day, bike month show a couple weeks ago. May is bicycle month, you know, National Bicycle Month. You're not going to have too many troubles in East or West Dearborn on the sidewalks, because the sidewalks are in such bad repair that they're bumped, they're bumpy, they got cracks. Businesses have put flower pots out in the middle of the sidewalk, so it's not bicycle friendly. So you, even if you try, you're not going to get very far before running into something, or having a tire run into a rut and having the bike thrown out of control. So my word, and I'm not criticizing either of these actions by Allen Park or Lincoln Park directly, I understand the safety issue, but what about the safety of bicyclists then in the street? And can skateboarders be on the street? I don't think so. Can roller skaters be on the street? I don't know. I don't think so. In any event, bicyclists can be on the street. That's legal in Michigan. Not expressways, okay. Not the big I-75, I-94. But all other roads, including Michigan Avenue and Ford Road in Dearborn, even those roads, which seemed very high-powered with a lot of cars, a lot of traffic, it is completely legal to ride your bicycle on the right side going with traffic. So I've got a sticker on my car, for example. It says share the road, because that's what you got to do. And we need, if you're going to force bicycles in particular to be only on the streets where it's legal for them to be, then we've got to do something about training the drivers of cars and trucks to let them know that the bicyclists have a right to be there. Not cutting off the bicyclist, not honking your horn, giving them a finger. I've had it all happen to me on streets in Dearborn. Cat calls, get a car, you know. Okay, it is totally legal in the state of Michigan to ride your bicycles with the traffic on the far right side of that road, even if you're taking up 3 feet or so of the far right lane. It is legal for you to be there. And even some police officers don't realize that, I'm sorry to say. That's where we need the educational effort. Because I'm in favor of bicycle as transportation, not just recreation, transportation, just like a young 15-year-old Mr. Lantry in Wyandotte. He believes the skateboard is his transportation. It can get him places a lot faster than if he was just walking. I'd say get a bike myself, but as long as bicycles are not outlawed in downtown Lincoln Park, you're okay. So we'll see where that goes, but come on, share the road. Share the road. A big driving weekend. People are going on trips up north and so on, all around. Maybe you'll be listening to the show on our podcast from our website, whfr.fm, after the weekend's over. But if it's Friday for you, you know, be careful out there. Share the road. Bicyclists are completely allowed to be in the far right of the lane going with traffic, except for I-75, I-94, and those big interstates. Okay? I'm glad we cleared that one up. All right. Let's see here. Well, as I said, everybody likes to talk about peace, love, and understanding, but is there anything good about war? Here's Edwin Starr's classic comment about that one.
Again. Whoa. Whoa. fisherman. Whoa. It ain't nothing but a heartbreaker. Whoa. It's got one friend, that's the Undertaker.
Nothing but a heartbreaker. The only thing that war is able to result in is more conflict. No, it resolves conflict temporarily, perhaps. And of course, the victor is always the one who's right. But in fact, the animosities, the resulting hatreds, linger on. And the cause of war is never solved by war. I mean, the actual causes, whether it's abject poverty or exploitation or unfair domination, the causes can't be resolved by war. When will our leaders of the world ever catch on to that? I get all choked up about this. I mean, it's quite obvious to me, and I've gone to college and taken many classes in the history of the world, as well as the United States. And the history shows, hey, one good war after the next. Well, that's wrong, of course. One bad war after the next. And in fact, if wars are so good, how come we're not totally civilized and there's no need for them? You say, well, people are always bad. Well, let's change people. Let's find a way to make things better, to satisfy the needs of all the people. Is that impossible? No, it's not. But a few people who would like to hoard all the resources for themselves, I think it's called greediness, selfishness, of course they don't want that. There might be a little bit less for them. They couldn't act or even be in power anymore. Couldn't act superior, couldn't be in power. Well, okay. Anyway, so that's Edwin Starr's opinion, one of the greatest hits of Motown Records. Yep, and Edwin Starr. Back to the stories here. The new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. WHFR.fm, the station making waves. You want to know now? Yes, okay, I've waited long enough on our Memorial Day special. Here is the information about Dearborn's Memorial Day Parade. It is, of course, Monday, May 26th. It's the 90th annual Memorial Day Parade, one of the largest in the United States. Fact, it's not the largest, but okay, good enough, all right? And it's right here in Dearborn, and it starts at 10 a.m. The parade itself is at 10 a.m. and travels along the route along Michigan Avenue east from Greenfield to Schaefer, ending at Dearborn City Hall, where there are speeches and remembrances and so on. The noon ceremony keynote address will be given by the Grand Marshal, William, his nickname is Spanky Gibson, a retired Marine Master Sergeant who was the first full-leg amputee to return to combat. As a wounded warrior, he has competed in triathlons, marathons, half Ironman races, and is a member of the Wounded Warrior Amputee softball team. New this year, will be additional activities in City Hall Park and along Maple Street until 3 p.m. Food will be available for purchase from food trucks. There will be free children's activities and art installation and military vehicles and displays. In addition, there'll be music 1 to 3 p.m. from the group called Platinum Entertainment and karaoke also by April Williams. So Dearborn's Memorial Day Parade, Monday, May 26th, starting at 10 a.m. at Michigan Avenue in Greenfield and proceeding east to Schaefer, of course, Greenfield and all the streets parallel to it from, not Greenfield, but Michigan Avenue from Greenfield to Schaefer and the streets that run parallel to that will also be pretty jammed up during this period of time. Theoretically, sometime after maybe 1 o'clock, it might lighten up a little bit, but the police will have it blocked off even earlier. There is at 9:40, a military funeral procession along Michigan Avenue honoring veterans who died without resources and whose cremains have been stored for years in Michigan funeral homes. All very sad, but again, if it was good for the freedom and liberty of the United States of America, then it was good. If it wasn't, I say not so much. Remember, all the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College. Okay, other stories here in the news. We look at the Dearborn Press and Guide from just 2 days ago, Wednesday, May 21st. Here is an update on the status of Morris Goodman, one of their editorial writers for several years, dare I say many years. I mentioned that he had to go in for some serious surgery a couple weeks ago. And so this short column is written by his wife, Morris Goodman's wife, Sally Goodman, and I thought I would share it with you. What I know is we have an amazing group of family and friends. What I don't know are the ins and outs of diabetes, while difficult things happen to good people, and how to allow people to help. Since May 1st, actually since January 10th, Morris and I have been dealing with Morris's health issues, chemotherapy, a trip to the emergency room, surgery, which turned out to be more extensive than originally thought, 3 days in intensive care unit, and now a week on the post-surgical floor at Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak. Hopefully he will move to a hospital rehab soon. We have known since the original diagnosis of pancreatic cancer that the surgery to remove the tumor would be very long, difficult, and complicated for the surgeon. Mm-hmm. She goes on to say, I'm not so sure we understood how hard the recovery would be. We considered ourselves fortunate that Morris's cancer was detected early and that his tumor responded to the chemotherapy and was reduced in size after only 4 treatments. We considered ourselves fortunate that Morris was in the 15% of people with pancreatic cancer who can consider surgery as an option to get rid of the cancer. We consider ourselves fortunate to have the support of our Unitarian Universalist congregation, our friends through Relay for Life, Dearborn Dems, the Players Guild of Dearborn, AA, our co-workers, our neighbors in Dearborn Hills and Rosedale Park, and our geographically far-flung family. People have delivered soups and casseroles to our home. We have been the recipients of prayers, good wishes, and loving thoughts, and we are sincerely grateful for everyone. But the surgery was more extensive than we thought it would be, and now the recovery is hard. For me, it is exhausting watching my spouse, partner, mate struggle to regain strength and to process how our life has changed. For him, well, he is recovering from major surgery. We hoped Morris's cancer could be removed, and it was. We didn't really think about having his entire pancreas removed and that would cause him to become a type 1 diabetic. From what I know, folks, that's the type that need insulin injections regularly, because that's all you can do if you're in that situation. And the pancreas is, of course, the organ in the body that handles that sort of insulin, natural insulin production. So if it's gone, then you have to be very careful. As she says here, being diabetic changes how you live from day to day. You have to eat on a schedule. You have to count carbohydrates. I don't think Morris knew what a carbohydrate was before his surgery, but you get to live. You get to live and love and appreciate your family and friends. and accept all the love and support so generously given. Morris has recovered from three previous major surgeries and two frighteningly close brushes with death before. I feel certain he will recover and be just as loud, stubborn, thoughtful, funny, and opinionated as before. But recovery is a slow process that moves in baby steps, so we need the time for this healing. After the surgery on May 1st, our sons were talking on the phone, and they decided to make a list of things their dad doesn't have. At the top of their list, both boys put patience. Not a pancreas, spleen, colon, gallbladder, or bile duct, but patience. So please be patient. The good word, that's the title of Morris's column in the Press and Guide, will return, says Sally Goodman. She says, I promise. And she's very active in local theater community herself. And we wished the best to Morris. He's been a guest on the show, and we like and respect anyone who can intelligently speak their opinion. And he was amazed, too, at how many people seemed to be influenced and supportive of his expressing his opinion. And even if you didn't agree with it, he was a good spokesperson for the ideas that he espoused. And we wish his recovery to continue, baby steps if needed. And we'd like to have him back on the Journal, of course, too, as soon as he is able to recover and get back to his former activities. Okay. Let's see here. Yes, another important story. Because I criticized this last week, and I probably had nothing to do with my comment, but public adoption of the Dearborn City budget, proposed budget, and the hearing was pregnant pause on May 20th. But the public adoption, when the council will actually consider it, has been moved from yesterday, Thursday, to next Tuesday. Now, because I said, well, you know, 2 days after the biggest public hearing in general on it, if there's any comments you make, you can be pretty sure the city council is not going to change anything, because they only got 2 days to consider any changes or differences. And it's already written, you know, they're just going to vote on it and approve of it. So I'm sure that's not the reason. I think the reason is they wanted to get out of town on Thursday. They didn't even want to have to stay. They wouldn't even have had a quorum at the city council because, hey, Thursday is just a day before Friday, and everybody takes off Friday for Memorial Weekend, which is supposedly Saturday through Monday only. So a lot of people wanted to leave on Thursday to get a head start on Friday, which is a head start for the weekend. And I understand that, and that's probably why. But if you do want to make any comments, okay, to review additional questions about financial issues related to anything in the city, like the DPW, the library, historical museum, Crowley Pool, the police, parking in downtown business districts, and residential and commercial services, you can still come by at 5:30. Oh, no, this is an earlier statement. So they had a second hearing yesterday. I'll give them credit for that. A second hearing while somebody was there to answer questions about the budget. So it wasn't just a hearing on Tuesday the 20th, but also yesterday the 22nd. God bless them. And the final vote would be by the council on May 29th, Tuesday. Yes, we got that right. Okay? Because, again, that's probably when the council can actually show up in full. Maybe they come to this, too. It doesn't say. But, of course, if there's no vote, we don't need a quorum. So they had two hearings. Now, this actually came out May 19th, which was last Monday. So it didn't really get any papers except the Wednesday paper. So I'm not, and a lot of people don't read this paper on Wednesday, I'm not sure it would have been possible for anybody to even know about it. Maybe the website, and Dearborn's website, I will say, is one of the most up-to-date and complete websites in the whole area. Okay, so thank you, City of Dearborn, for providing this amount of public information on a timely basis, which means almost right away, on the website. cityofdearborn.org is the website, and all documents related to the proposed fiscal year 2015, that is 2014-2015 budget, are posted there. cityofdearborn.org. All right. We need some more music, don't we? Yep. So I'm thinking of it's a loose tie-in, very loose. One of the big events for fans of comic books and fantasy and science fiction in general is the Motor City Comic Con. Okay, and they just completed the 25th annual Motor City Comic Con a weekend or so ago. And there's a little story about it in the press and guide from this last Wednesday, May 21st, from John Herndon, who was there. And he said that the longest lines, what you can do is at a Comic-Con, besides there's people selling all kinds of paraphernalia, and of course you can go dressed up as your favorite character from science fiction, fantasy, whatever, comic books, of course. So it's really quite an event, but there's also some seminars and some meet-and-greet sessions, and the celebrities, the stars, the authors, they usually also have tables. They're like vendors, and you go there, you stand in line, and you buy for $20 or more an autographed 8x10 of that star, and you get to talk to them for like 15 seconds too. And it's just so cool if it's a big hero that you worship for years. Amazingly, the longest line of the weekend, the longest lines there of the Motor City Comic Con weekend, belong to John Barrowman, who recently was promoted to a series regular on the TV show Arrow. He plays comic baddie Malcolm Merlyn on the show. But he's most famous for his role as Captain Jack Harkness on Doctor Who and the spinoff show where he was the lead called Torchwood. It says he's also an accomplished singer and stage actor. So in thinking about Morris Goodman's recovery, to be alive, here is the song by John Barrowman, Being Alive. It's from the Broadway musical Company.
Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive. Make me alive. Somebody need me too much. Somebody know me too well. Somebody pull me up short and put me through hell and give me support for being alive. Make me alive. Make me alive. Make me confused. Mock me with praise. Let me be. Bury my days, but alone is alone, not alive. Somebody crowd me with love. Somebody force me to care. Somebody make me come through. I'll always be there, as frightened as you, to help us survive. Being alive, make me confused. Mock me with praise. Let me be used. Bury my days. But alone is alone. Somebody force me to care. Somebody make me come through. I'll always be there, as frightened as you, to help us survive. Being alive. Being alive. Being alive.
Pretty impressive voice, huh? John Barrowman. He specializes in Broadway musical albums, three or four, I think. A lot of fun to watch in the TV series, too, especially as his portrayal of the Captain Jack character. If I would have remembered about Comic-Con, I think I would have gone. And I did go to a Buffy Comic-Con, well, anyway, years ago. And that was great fun. Okay, so looking here at a way to go out. And I'm going to choose Gil Scott-Heron. He is known by some in the urban music area as maybe the first rapper. Not that his music has necessarily the same approach. He usually referred to his work as jazz, but spoken lyric jazz. He did pass away a few years ago. But here's a song that I'm going to conclude with. This is WHFR Dearborn. And stay tuned for Highway 61 with Joanne Kay coming up a little after 2 o'clock, as usual, until 6 p.m. tonight. But this song from Gil Scott-Heron goes out to on in our Memorial Day special in the conclusion to that. And by the way, next Friday, the 30th, Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market will open 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in West Dearborn, the Bryant Library parking lot. Free admission. Great fun. Local vendors. Food, flowers, try to be there. Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market. Okay, this song is going out to the people in the peace activist community. And locally, I know that means Net a Peace Team, Peace Action of Michigan, Citizens for Peace, and Pax Christi and any other organization that is working for peace. This is Jay Koronek. Thank you for listening. Take care out there.
Back when Eisenhower was the president, golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said because in general, I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military-industrial complex. Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms-making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex. But all they're doing is paying dues to the military-industrial complex. The military and the monetary. The military and the monetary. The military and the monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to a cemetery. The military and the monetary use the media as intermediaries. They are determined to keep the citizens secondary. They make so many decisions that are arbitrary. We're marching behind the commander-in-chief who was standing under a spotlight shaking like a leaf. But the ship of state had landed on an economic reef, so we knew he was going to bring us messages of grief. The military and the monetary were shielded by January and with storming into February. Brought us pot-bellied generals as luminaries. 2 weeks ago I hadn't heard, now all of a sudden he's legendary. They took the honor from the honorary. They took the dignity from the dignitaries. They took the secrets from the secretary, but they left an obituary. The military and the monetary from thousands of miles away in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary had us all scrambling for our dictionaries because we couldn't understand the vocabulary. Yeah, there were some smart bombs, but there were some dumb ones as well. Scared the hell out of CNN in that Baghdad hotel. The military and the monetary, they
get together whenever they think it's necessary. War in the desert sometimes sure is scary, but they beamed out the war to all their subsidiaries, tried to make soda insane a worthy adversary, keeping the citizens secondary, scaring old folks into coronaries. The military and the monetary from thousands of miles in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary kept us all wondering if all of this was really truly necessary. We've got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. If we only worked for peace, if everyone believed in peace the way they say they do, we'd have peace. The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They've turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery. We've got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. We should not allow ourselves to be misled by talk of entering a time of peace. Peace is not the absence of war, it is the absence of the rumors of war and the threats of war and the preparation for war. Peace is not the absence of war, it is the time when we will all bring ourselves closer to each other, closer to building a structure that is unique within ourselves because we have finally come to peace within ourselves. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning parts of the planet into a cemetery. What you gonna do? Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary.
People say, what you gonna do?
We hounded the Ayatollah religiously.
Libyan stated,
bombed
say,
Libya and killed
do?
Gaddafi's son hideously. We turned our back on our allies, the Panamanians, and saw Ali North selling guns to the Iranians. Watched Gorbachev slaughtering Lithuanians. We better warn the Amish, they may bomb the Pennsylvanians. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery.
They got folks out there.